Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Quinn Douglas with you here on 95.7 KQWC. And with us, you know what that means. When it's 8:30, it's time for Focus on Health. Lori from Bandy's Medical Center joins us here. Lori, how are you doing today?
Very good. Good morning to you, Quinn. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing fantastic. Can't complain.
Thank you for covering our program.
Yep, absolutely.
Holding down the house here at the station.
Yep. Doing what I can.
Very good. Well, I will start the program with a few announcements. November is National Diabetes Month, and we're very proud to be offering a diabetic education program for those looking for the tools and resources to control their diabetes. This program allows patients to better understand the nature of their disease and the actions they can take to manage it. The team does consist of registered nurse Angela Ehlert and registered dietitian Christy Zweifel, and you can call 832-7746 if you're interested in more information or becoming a part of that program. In addition to our specialty clinic services, I'm very pleased to announce that our oncology services are now being provided by Dr. Roscoe Morton. Dr. Morton is with Mission Cancer and Blood Center and is trained in the most current and up-to-date techniques for cancer care and the treatment of blood diseases. He works to develop a comprehensive approach to your cancer treatment and recovery. He actually visits the specialty clinic department at our hospital on the second Monday of each month. Again, if you're interested, have more questions, you can call the specialty clinic department at 832-7746. And a new announcement that I share regarding specialty clinic services is that our cardiology services are now being provided by cardiologist Dr. Segal and nurse practitioner Alexandria Doyle, both with Iowa Heart in Fort Dodge. Dr. Segal and Alex will be seeing patients in the specialty clinic at the hospital on the second and fourth Thursdays of each month. Due to some scheduling quirks for the month of December and the holidays there, they will not be here during December, but they will resume their normal schedule again in January. And again, that number for more information or for questions for the specialty clinic department is 832-7746. And I would mention that all the information can be found on our website. If you go to www.vandeastmc.org, there is a calendar there of all of our visiting specialists and the days that they will be there, and it's very helpful to take a look there. A couple additional announcements that I do want to mention. Of course, we know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm sharing this during November because out at Vandeast Family Health Clinic, we encourage all of our women to get their screening mammograms. And during the months of October and November, we actually have a special promotion going on. And for women that schedule their mammograms during the month of November, they will be entered in a drawing to win a gift bag. And so we certainly encourage you to call, schedule your appointment today. The number to call, 832-7800. And then hopefully you checked your mailboxes last week. The Living Healthier Community newsletter was distributed to households, and this is a terrific publication. It features our infusion center renovation project that's going to be taking place in the upcoming months. Also, there's information on our new diabetic education program, our Healthy Life patient portal, new physicians and providers to our healthcare team, and our skilled care services at Vandeast Medical Center. If you did not receive a copy, I have some additional copies. You can certainly email me at lfoster@vandeastmc.org, or again, you can go to our website, vandeastmc.org, and you can find an electronic copy of the publication there. And just quick reminders here, it is that time of year. If you haven't gotten your flu vaccine yet, please call to make your appointment. The CDC does recommend everyone 6 months and older to get vaccinated every flu season. You can call any of our clinics here in Webster City, in Stratford, Jewell, or Fort Dodge to get your influenza vaccine. And then also with our COVID-19 vaccines, I do want to mention we do have booster vaccines available. There are a couple different ways you can register. If you are a patient of Vandeast Family Health Clinic, you can either go to our website, and right on the homepage, there is a banner bar. You can enter your contact information, or you can call the clinic number, again, 832-7800. Follow the prompts and enter your name and phone number. And when vaccines become available, we will schedule you for your appointment. And I think that does it.
All right. I understand. Yeah, I think we have some guests here for us. Lori, if you want to introduce them.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased to introduce our guests today. Joining us here on the program, I would like to welcome staff pharmacist Cassidy Butcher and pharmacy director Jordan Wagner. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Actually, I was saying as we came out to the radio station that it is such a great opportunity to celebrate and recognize the services of our pharmacists at the hospital. They do a terrific job working with our patients, keeping our community safe, and I need to have this team on more often. They're a wealth of information and just, again, terrific resources for our patients, our staff, and community. So thank you for all you do, and thank you for being on the program today. Since we have featured our pharmacy services on a previous program, we have a new addition, and Cassidy has joined the pharmacy department out at the hospital. You have been with us officially since the end of July, first part of August, as a staff pharmacist. And so fairly new in the role there. I've been there about 3.5 months. But Cassidy, if you would, give our listeners a chance to get to know you a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your background and your education.
Okay. Well, I'll start with saying that I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. I moved up here in the fall of 2020 with my husband so he could go to school at Iowa State.
Get it louder so they can hear you. So.
I know I'm a quiet person. Yeah. I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry from Truman State University in Kirksville, Missouri. And then from there, I went to the University of Missouri, Kansas City to get my PharmD degree, or my doctorate of pharmacy. So I graduated in May of 2021. I was hired by Vandy's in April, and I was a pharmacy intern. So Jordan, the pharmacy director, did a really good job of kind of training me up, and then I was studying for boards during that time as well. And then I was officially licensed at the end of July, and here we are now.
Wonderful. Well, you have been a great addition to our hospital and our pharmacy team. And you mentioned briefly that you had done an internship. Maybe talk a little bit more about that and kind of what led you even to Vandy's Medical Center with your internship.
Sure. So I was just an intern because I hadn't graduated yet and didn't have my full license. And as the intern, I was able to train. Jordan was the only pharmacist at the time, so I'm sure he appreciated having an extra hand to kind of help run the show a little bit. And it was a good chance for me to get my feet wet while I was studying for boards. And I specifically chose Vandy East, or was looking for a smaller community hospital, because in my undergraduate degree, the city that, or the town that I was in, it had a small regional medical center, very similar to Vandy East, and I spent some time volunteering and noticed how integrated it was into the community and how each healthcare professional there got to do a lot of different jobs and wear a lot of different hats. And so when I interviewed at Vandy East, that we get to work with providers, we get to work with patients, you get phone calls from the clinic, we get to do chemotherapy infusions. So there was just a lot of different opportunities for growth and involvement. And I thought that was a good way to start my career and just kind of see where it goes.
Definitely a good fit. And I just love hearing that kind of where you grew up, there was a similar size medical center, like you mentioned.
Definitely feels very, very comfortable.
Very much like home. Mm-hmm. Ooh, love to hear that. So, Cassidy, what made you decide to pursue pharmacy and your Doctor of Pharmacy degree?
I have my bachelor's in chemistry, and as I was going through undergrad, I spent a good deal amount of time in the lab, and I realized I really liked being in the lab with my classmates because we had a lot of fun, but I thought spending 40 hours or more in a week in the lab was going to be quite boring as a full-time career. So when I was getting close to graduation, I did some exploring and searching, stumbled into pharmacy, found that it let me kind of communicate and work with the general public, which is something I really enjoy, while also balancing out my education and my science knowledge. And I just kind of went out on the whim, applied to pharmacy school, and got in, and I've never looked back since.
Wonderful. That is so great to hear. And I'm going to kind of shift gears, and I want to incorporate both of you into the program. And as you mentioned, yes, Jordan had been in our pharmacy department, really managing the department on his own at that time. So your timing was perfect, and you were a very welcome addition. Jordan, how long have you been with the Andes Medical Center now?
So I started in September of 2015, so just over 6 years now. Started as co-director with Karen Johnson, and then as of almost a year now, transitioned over to director of pharmacy.
Excellent, and has done a fabulous job in that role as he's been with us too. Cassidy, I know you mentioned, as you were talking about some of the different opportunities that were available at Van Deese Medical Center, it's just perfect to kind of go right into that. You do have several opportunities to interact with patients, with staff members, with physicians and providers on a daily basis. It's really ongoing. Maybe talk a little bit about your role and what that looks like, and some of the different ways in which you help to serve the team and our patients out there.
So I, each morning, kind of look at the patients that we have on our med-surg unit on the floor, take a look at the medications, their vitals, see how they're doing, so that way when I go to multidisciplinary rounds, I can give my suggestions from the pharmacy side to say, hey, maybe we should switch the timing of a medication, or there's an interaction, so something here would be better than this that they're currently taking, just to provide a better overall patient experience for them. And then we also participate in the refuel program, which is a team-based approach for patients with chronic health conditions that come into our inpatient side of the hospital. So say they've got diabetes, COPD, or heart failure. We have different members of the hospital team, so we've got a dietitian, a nurse, and someone from pharmacy goes in to chat with them to see how we can help them get to their goals and keep them out of the hospital and keep them healthy. So the pharmacy, we talk to them about the medications, talk about benefits, why it's important to keep taking them, and then address any questions or concerns that they might have. And then I think Jordan's got some other input that he does also in the day-to-day.
Yeah, so some of the other things that I would do, some of the committee works, you know, pharmacy and therapeutics committee, as well as opioid stewardship and antimicrobial stewardship. So just making sure that we're up to date on the current guidelines, everything that we help communicate with providers in nursing, and making sure that drug regimens, as well as interactions, like Cassidy said, and making sure that they're renally dosed appropriately to be safe for the patient, so they get the best treatment that they can that we have evidence out there for.
Very good. You know, what's interesting to me is there's so much interaction with patients, probably more so, and it just seems to increase all the time. And I love that because it's confusing for patients. I mean, the two of you, I'm sure, experience it frequently with patients that come in and sometimes maybe not even sure of all the medications they're on, or maybe why they're on certain medications. And so you provide such valuable information for the patients. And it is about a team-based approach. You know, Cassidy, you mentioned the multidisciplinary rounding, and that is getting, you know, a cross-functional team from across the organization that meets and really discusses that patient's, you know, care and plan, and about what discharge looks like. I mean, that starts from the time that the patient comes into the hospital. We're planning for that discharge, but it really is about getting the entire care team together to just have the best results for our patients. And I love that pharmacy is a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, discharging is one that we plan for right from the beginning. That's another big part that we play in. Cassie and I, either one of us, will both go down on discharge and talk to the patients about new medications, their current regimens, answer any questions they have, making sure that they know what's going to go home with them and how to take it and what to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important, you know, when we can have another set of ears there. I know if a family member can be can be present during that time, because there's a lot of information that is shared with patients, and especially when we're discussing, you know, care plans and, again, those medications and when they need to be taken. And I just encourage friends and family, everyone I know, whether it is, whether you or a loved one is in the hospital or you have even a clinic visit where you're going to see a specialist, it's so important to have another set of ears there to just make sure that you're capturing all the information. And again, we definitely want the best outcomes for all of our patients. So I really love that part of pharmacy being a part of those teams and meeting with our patients one-on-one to even be able to answer those questions that they have once they're leaving our hospital. So, well, thank you for all you both do for our patients and working with our staff members. We do want to make sure that we're covering some kind of interesting information for our listeners, too, because the time of year that it is, you know, it is November, and it does mean we're talking about flu season, colds, allergies, and definitely COVID being out there and among us. So it's great having both Jordan and Cassidy here as resources. Maybe let's talk about some of the over-the-counter medications and items that are frequently used this time of year. And I just think people have ongoing questions of what is appropriate to be taken and when. So maybe you can shed some light on that for our listeners.
Yeah. Speaking from personal experience, this was my first full harvest season that I spent up in Iowa, so I definitely suffered from allergies this year. Had to re-educate my own self about what was the best medication to take, so I feel for everyone out there who is struggling right now. I always like to start with, what are our symptoms that we're working with? So do we have a cough? Is it a sore throat? Maybe a runny nose or a headache? Or is it a fever? There's lots of combination products out there that try to target a lot of different symptoms, and most of the time when we take a combination product, we end up taking medication we don't need, suffering with side effects that are unwanted. So if we target what symptoms we're going for, you can really pinpoint and personalize your treatment regimen so that way you're only focusing on what we need to focus on. So like with a fever, you can start with either Tylenol or Motrin, and that also helps reduce some pain. So say you have a sore throat, you can try a cough drop, and then in addition, add Tylenol or Motrin onto it. For myself, when I was suffering with allergies, I ended up using an antihistamine, and those look like your Claritin, your Zyrtec, your Allegra, and all of these are available over the counter at the pharmacy. And then when we have a cough or a cold, with our cough, we've got a couple different options. There's Delsym, there is Robitussin, and those all help to suppress our urge to cough. But I think Jordan might cover this in a little bit. When we have a cough is a good thing because it's kind of getting rid of the germs and the gunk that's in our body. So we don't necessarily want to suppress the cough all the time unless maybe it's keeping us awake at night or it's preventing us from getting good sleep, which is healing in itself. Jordan, do you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, so like she said, making sure that you're not taking those, you know, if it's keeping you up from sleeping at night, like a dry, hacky cough, definitely go ahead and take that. You know, the dextromethorphan will suppress that cough. Even when it goes with kiddos, too, having three of my own, I know that that is a worrisome thing for parents. But if it's keeping the parents up and not necessarily the kids, unfortunately, you probably want to let them just get that out naturally. That's really what's best for them. So all of these medications that Cassidy mentioned too, you can talk with the pharmacist about them. They're all directed towards kiddos as well as parents. So dosing and timing of dosing is just key for that when you're dealing with kids versus adults. The only other one that I would caution on is like diphenhydramine or Benadryl. Sometimes that can make an adverse effect on kids. With grown adults, you know, you get drowsy, tired. With kiddos, you might have some hyperactivity. So like what I experienced myself early on, my kids stayed up all night long. So no sleep for anybody. So just watch out for that.
Very good. Now, Cassidy, I do have to ask you, you mentioned this was like your first harvest season. So had you not been troubled with some of the allergies you experienced this year before?
No, I really didn't have allergies growing up in Missouri, and then when I went off to school in different parts of the state, no issues. It was not until this fall.
Well, I can say, as a native Iowan, this is my 22nd harvest. It all goes downhill from here. I promise you that. I promise you that. Lori can vouch. Last time I was on here, I was getting beat up by hay fever. That's for certain.
He was definitely in the height of it. Yes, I felt bad.
It was awful.
It's nice to know I'm not alone. Everybody kind of goes through it.
You're not. And, you know, with some, you mentioned some of those allergy medications that people can take, like Zyrtec and I think Allegra you mentioned. Are they all basically the same? I know it can just be overwhelming when people get to the aisle that they need to be, and there's just this span of over-the-counter medications. And, okay, which one do I take? I just don't know.
Those aisles are confusing, and usually they're grouped by type of medication or class of medication. And so this is where chatting with the pharmacist at the counter is a good option, because they'll point you to which section you need to go to. But ultimately, the difference between brands is all up to you and personal preference. So you might have a neighbor down the street who says, oh, I took Claritin last year, got me through it. And then your mom might be a fan of Allegra. So you kind of just have to pick and choose and go with what you think might work.
Very good. Did you have other maybe recommendations of over-the-counter things? Maybe even nasal sprays. I know that is something, too, that, you know, some people have good luck with. When is it appropriate to maybe do nasal sprays or not?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, congestion's a big deal. So there's Afrin that's over-the-counter that can help open those airways up. Very similar to like Sudafed, which is another good option if you're having some of those type of symptoms with cold and congestion. Normal saline as like for nasal too can be helpful, especially in little kids. And then you can use the suction bulb, primarily like infants, you know, and get some of that stuff that's clogging it up all out of there for you. So for kiddos, especially infants, those are probably the better options, because it's just normal saline and you're not doing medications with them, which can get tricky at times.
All right, very good. Definitely, unless you had other recommendations, I'll kind of move on then. As pharmacists, as I mentioned, you play such an important and critical role in helping people get the best results from their medications and just serve as terrific healthcare resources. So, since I have you here in the studio, what are some of the more commonly asked questions or concerns that the two of you maybe hear from friends, family, even from patients? What are the things that you hear?
Yeah, so I'll jump in. Brand name versus generic name is a big one that we hear a lot of the times. Some patients swear by the brand name, and then some, you know, they just ask about it. So per the FDA, the approval process, the drug itself has to be bioequivalent. They do give a little bit of leeway, but in studies, most of them are less than 4%. So they are essentially identical active ingredients, and that's one of the main things, is the active ingredients has to be the same. They have to make sure that they can manufacture it, they can store it, put it in the correct bottles that would be sufficient to ship out. And then usually the costs with the generics are, you know, anywhere from like 20 to 80% cheaper. Not all of them, but generally speaking, that's what they are. So inactive ingredients, some people have different dye allergies. The inactive ingredients do not have to be the same, but they have to be safe for everybody. So that does not account for people who have allergies to those, however. So that could be the main difference there.
Gosh, great information. I'm glad you covered that, Jordan. Yeah.
And then for me, my family members like to ask me about the cost of the medications and sometimes insurance. So unfortunately, some medications are just going to be expensive because they're either brand name only and there's no generic available, or because maybe you have to meet your deductible, so that's why the price is so high. But sometimes even, so say you notice that the price has changed, after you pick it up for several months in a row, you get a little red flag goes off. Why is it $50 instead of $20? That's a good opportunity to go talk to the pharmacist at the counter and just address your concerns. Say, hey, I noticed the price went up. Why is that? Sometimes it's a matter of maybe they billed for 3 months instead of 1 month, or maybe your insurance has changed, so they prefer one med over the other, and all it really takes is then a phone call to the doctor's office to get that switched up. So my advice to them is always, if you notice a change in your prescription or the price or something just isn't sitting right, don't walk away from the counter without your medication, because the medication was written for you for a good reason, and we do need you to take it. Always take your questions to the pharmacist at the counter, because they're more than willing to help you out.
They are, and just serve as excellent resources. So yes, when you're there and there is a pharmacist that is available, please take advantage of that. Thank you for sharing that too, Cassidy. You know, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about this, but I certainly want to take a few minutes to just talk about antibiotics and what is important for patients to know about antibiotics, the appropriate use of them, and when antibiotics may not be the best treatment and why.
So I think we can start out with saying antibiotics work against bacteria. They do not work against viruses. So things like the common cold or flu, even COVID, these are all caused by viruses. So you might feel pretty crappy, but taking an antibiotic is not going to make a difference, because that's not what is causing you harm right now. You have a virus in your body, not the bacteria. So antibiotics target the bacteria and work that way.
And to kind of jump in off of that, some of the concerns that we would have if, you know, the misuse of it is drug resistance. Using these antibiotics for viruses is just a way for these bacteria to mutate, and then when they do that, these antibiotics cannot work to kill and get rid of that bacterial infection when you do have them. So drug resistance is kind of starting to be a big thing. We want to make sure that we are able to use these antibiotics to get rid of the bacteria that they're designed to get rid of. So making sure you're taking them at the right time, at the right dose, for the correct duration is key to antibiotics as well.
Very good. And I know so many people do think, you know, if they're experiencing some certain symptoms and go in for, say, a visit with the physician or their primary care provider, they just think, okay, I just need the antibiotic to get me feeling better. And there are obviously, there's tests that can be done to determine whether it is bacterial or viral. And as Cassidy and Jordan have shared, that if it's viral, an antibiotic really isn't going to help you. And so you just have to let that really work out of your system, basically. But yes, we're kind of all in this society of, well, I don't have time to be sick, and I just need to be fixed and be feeling better. But the truth is that we do need to be very respectful of antibiotics, the appropriate use of them, and definitely to make sure. I want to touch on too a question that you know, when people are on an antibiotic, so often as soon as they get to feeling better, they're like, well, I probably didn't even finish this dose. I'm feeling better, but it's so important for them to finish their prescribed medication if they are on an antibiotic. Yes, absolutely. Well, I know we don't have much time left with our program, but I just want to finish the program and really share with listeners when the two of you aren't in the pharmacy or working around the hospital serving patients and staff members, you know, tell us what you like to do in your free time.
Pretty new to the area, so my free time in the evenings and on weekends, I've been exploring the areas, all the parks and the trails with my husband and my dog. Now that the weather's going to get a little chilly, though, I think I'll spend more time inside, maybe reading and doing some cooking.
Very good. Wonderful, Cassidy.
And for myself, like I said, I have three kiddos, so we like going outdoors. Webster City has great trails around the area. We like walking, riding bikes, playing at all the parks. A lot of new great parks out there. And, you know, since it's getting colder too, spend some time indoors doing some drawing or playing games with the kiddos.
Perfect. Sounds good. And I would echo that from both of you that, yes, we are very fortunate in that we have wonderful recreational opportunities in and around Webster City and Hamilton County with trails and parks, and take advantage of them, everybody out there. While we've got some nice weather, even if the air gets a little brisk, bundle up, wear the appropriate clothing, and get out there and get some fresh air while you can. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely turn to that time of year where it's not quite too cold yet, but it's just warm enough where you can, it's just cold enough where you got to bundle up a little bit. So Lori, Cassie, Jordan, thank you for coming in today for our Focus on Health program.
Yes, thank you, Quinn, and thank you to both Cassidy and Jordan for your service and for being guests on the show.
All right, that'll do it for us here on Focus on Health. The Bradford Financial Hour with Bradford Financial and Clarion is up next here on 95.7 KQWC.